The same. Indian ball, so Indian. Goldo Miles has asked his achzus by Hashem Yisbach b'chol hamatzavim. The importance of clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all situations. What are some examples of all situations? Wet shoes, wet carpet in your basement,
you got
car at the shop,
still there?
Speeding ticket on the Bruckner. I mean, these are all theoretical examples. Chasdei Hashem. V'tzarech kol adam b'meshach kol yemei chayev la'avodas Hashem Yisbarach b'chol achavchas itim sh'over malaf. A person needs to be able to serve Hashem in all 28 times that pass over him. What does he mean by the 28 times? He's referring to Kohelis Paragimel, where it says, Esla this, Esla that. A time of peace, a time of war, a time to plant, a time to uproot, a time to build, a time to tear down buildings. A person has to know how to serve Hashem in all those situations. Kol echad lefi inyanav. Each situation, each person according to the needs of that particular situation. Asher al zeh sovim hamon sichos shabbeinu hakadosh, that Rabbi Nachman has many teachings about this. Umar Anat and Rabbi Nassim zechusam yegen aleinu as well. Lis'achiz ba'Hashem yisbarach tamen b'chol ha'ufanim v'amatzavim. To be able to cling to Hashem, as we learned last Wednesday, or v'choshech, yom v'layla, winter and summer, mountains and valleys, that in all of life situations, like David HaMelech, to be able to continue to believe and to be able to continue to cling and to not disconnect from Hashem in hard times, but even more so, to cling to Hashem in hard times. Right? We spoke last week about Acha v'kedem tzaratani. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, forwards and backwards, I feel trapped and I feel created at the same time. To cling to Hashem in every situation. B'v'chinas, as it says in Shir HaShirim, the third parak, achaztiv v'lo arpenu. I will grab onto Him and I will not let go. I will not lose my grip. Gam im yavor alav ma, regardless of what will pass over me, whatever I'm going through, ki zeh tikuno hamiyucha lo miyodea talumos. Because how you're going to respond in that situation is the ticket to a tikkun or a failure. Hashem put you in that situation. Are you going to question? Are you going to lose hope? Are you going to lose emunah? Or are you going to be like Avraham Avinu on the way to the impossible Akedah, who continued to do what he has to do, because a Jew does what he has to do? That's the moment of Nisayon from the Yodea Talumos, from the one who knows all the secrets. Hashem knows why you need to be in that difficult situation. V'nei Amru Chazal, the Gemara has a remarkable Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Zayin Amar Aleph, Amar Lefan of David HaMelech Yisrael. David says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Sha'olam, V'pnei ma omrim Elokei Avram, V'Elokei Yitzchak, V'Elokei Yaakov, V'ein omrim Elokei David. Why do we say the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob in Shemoneh Esrei? Why not the God of David? Imagine, humble David HaMelech says such a thing. Ulechora says, our Rebbe, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, it's a Pella, it's a wondrous thing. Why would David ask such a lofty thing? You think you're one of the Avos. What was David's connection to Hashem that was so tangible and so strong that he felt it was totally appropriate that I should be, yes, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Ve'Elokei Yaakov, Elokei David. Where was his point of connection? That he felt confident to ask for such a lofty thing. She had Doma La'avos HaKadoshim. Shashem Elokei Yisrael Yikra Gam Alav. That the name of God should be called every time a Jew davens Shemoneh Esrei on David. Befichol Yisrael and Netzach, Chemosh Nekram Ba'avos. That forever David should be part of that Chavraya Kedisha, that holy gathering, that grouping of Tzadikim, Av, Mitzvah, and Yaakov, and David. Now, it's true, Kabbalistically, in the Merkava and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine chariot, the four wheels of the chariot, at least according to one understanding of it, is Av, Mitzvah, Yaakov, David. So there is a strong Sheiches of David to the Avos. But again, it says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, it's a bold statement. I also want to be part of Shemoneh Esrei. I also deserve it. Why was David sure that he deserved it? Why does David deserve that place, the Netzach Nitzachim, as part of the tefillah of every Jew? The mi'etzma she'elav, and the fact that he asked it, mashma she'David yadav ha'evin she'esh bo mida kazu, Shavura ro'ehu ukedaihu shiyikra shemosha lakadosh baruch hu alav. Shiyom yisrael tamir alokei David. From the fact that he had the audacity to ask for such a thing, I mean, knowing that David is exceedingly humble, it must be that David felt that this was an entirely appropriate and realistic request. So what was the mida of David HaMelech that gave him the confidence to feel that he should, for eternity, become part of our Shemona Esther? V'nir alomar, says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, as we again developed several days last week, and we continue to develop today, that David HaMelech put Nebuchadnezzar to shame. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to praise Hashem when he saw open miracles. David HaMelech clung to Hashem in the most difficult and broken of times. V'nir alomar, dechol zeu beglal mida kedoshe v'nisgava zu. What was the mida of David HaMelech? Shekiyim ba'atzma, that he was the living embodiment of Shir HaShirim Paragimel Achaztiv V'lo Arpenu. I will cling to him and I'll never let go. No matter how much you push me away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No matter how difficult my life gets, I only hold on to you tighter. I grab you tighter. I'm more scared, so I grab onto my parents' hand tighter. Shayim is achiz b'Hashem yizbarach tamid b'chol suge ha'ufanim v'matzavim sh'avra alav. That no matter what happens, in the 28 itim that Kohelis describes in the third parak, a time of tranquility, a time of complete upheaval, I'm going to hold on to you, Hashem. V'lo hirpim imenu, and I'm not going to let go. V'avor mida zu ra zuchus la'atzmo sh'shem Hashem yikra alav. And a person who clings to Hashem says, yeah, I deserve to be in Shemona Esrei. Klal Yisrael should say, Elokei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, and Elokei David. Ki be'emes zeh ha'yakol inyanu shel David HaMelech alav shalom. Because if you had to sum up the ultimate teaching of the life of David HaMelech in one sentence, it's this. K'mo she'amru chazal, as the Gemara says in Brachos, as we alluded to last week, on the Pasuk, Tehillim Kuf Aleph, remember what the Vart from Rav Biderman? Rav Biderman says, explaining the Gemara in Chagiga, you can't compare 100 to 101. Tehillim chapter 100 is saying thank you to Hashem when things are good. Tehillim chapter 101, which you can't compare, is the Jew says thank you to Hashem when things are bad. Chesed u mishpat ashira. Lecha Hashem azameir. What does it say in Tehillim 101? Take a look, it's right here in front of you. Chesed u mishpat ashira. Not only chesed will I say thank you and sing songs, but when it's mishpat, when life's not working out, I'll sing to you, Hashem, over that. Lecha Hashem azameira. Amar of Acha, look at this beautiful Gemara. Amar of Acha, Mishum Rabbi Levi. Im chesed ashira. Sorry, I'm reading a little quick today, but we got to make up for lost time. Im chesed ashira, v'im mishpat ashira. If you do kindness with me, I'll sing. If you do divine strict justice and judgment and din, midas hagvura, or din against me, I'll also sing. David HaMelech says, they're both equal by me. By both of them, I'll say a lashon of Ashira. Another example. David HaMelech says in Tehillim Nunvav, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmini Amar Mehacha, Ba'Hashem Ahalel Davar, Ba'Elokim Ahalel Davar. What's the difference between Hashem and Elokim? Yudkei Vavkei and Elokim. Chesed versus Din. Ba'Hashem, when things are good, Ahalel Davar. Be'elukim, also, I'll continue to praise you. I won't only say halal for the good times, I'll say halal for the bad times. Ba'ashem ha'alel davar, zo mida tova. Be'elukim ha'alel davar, zo midas peranios. When I'm suffering, when I'm going through difficulties. A third example. David HaMelech says, Ritanchum amar mehacha. Kos Yeshua sasa. I'll lift up a cup of salvation. Gvaldik. U'v'shem Hashem ekra. But David HaMelech says in the same breath, when troubles befall me, when all sorts of difficulties befall me, and yet still turn the page of Hashem Hashem Ekra, and I'll still sing the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shagam because Yeshua's vagam b'tzara v'yagon tamid Ekra. Because I know how to ride the ups and downs of life. Alios v'yoridos. Whereas the next section is called, which he barely spells out for us, but we're going to learn the piece from Rabbeinu, from Rabbi Nachman inside together. That a person needs to be, what? What's the title of the next section? Baki b'ratzo, u'baki b'shov. To be able to move forward and to be able to retreat at the same time. At the same time. Certainly back to back, but even at the same moment to be in a state of forward progression while I'm literally going in reverse. Okay? We'll see exactly what it is. We're going to see the words of Rabbi Nachman, we're going to see the words of the Rav. And you'll see how Rav Soloveitchik is a parish on Rabbi Nachman, Rabbi Nachman is a parish on the Rav. And it's beautiful how they come together. Especially on a day like today, where we're going to hear from Rav Shechter in a little bit about his relationship with the Rav. and you'll see what a spiritual giant, not just an intellectual giant, what a spiritual giant of Salvechikos. Yeah.
What did Rabbi Biderman say on the 100 to 100?
Rabbi Biderman said you can't compare 100 to 101. So what does that mean? The Pashup Shana of the Gemara is you can't compare a person who reviews his learning 100 times to a person who reviews it 101 times. The Gemara in Chagig on Daf Tes. But Rabbi Biderman said, no, if you look in Tehillim chapter 100 and Tehillim chapter 101, you'll see an interesting thing. Tehillim chapter 100 is the praise of Hashem when things are good. Thank you for the good things. Tehillim 101 is this pasuk that we just read. Chesed u'mishpat ashira. As the Gemara in Brachos says in Daf Samach, I'll sing for the good and I'll sing for the bad. Okay, let's keep going before we get to Rabbi Nachman. Before we get to see Lakut Moran inside. V'amnam kama v'kama m'amari chazal anu motziyam alisach zuso shal David b'akadosh baruch hu gam b'matzava v'koshim b'yosef. There are many, many m'amari chazal that highlight us what a beautiful Jew David HaMelech was and his ability to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the most difficult of situations, the most trying of times. The Yalkut Shimoni says, if you remember, we once learned in this Sefer, in Lekut Amarim, I don't know if we had it in the second volume, but we definitely had it when we learned the first volume. Could be it's in both, I don't remember. That the Berditchever went 1.5 years with Katnus Hamochin. And for 1.5 years, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, who was mamish a ball of fire, was a cold Jew. He was a kaltel litvak. He couldn't feel anything. 1.5 years. For someone like the Berditchever, that must have been an extremely painful experience. And yet, he was able to cling to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to hold tight, and eventually he went back to his fiery ways. He was able to ride it out. Says the Medrash, the Alkut Shimoni in Shmuel, for 22 years, David HaMelech was in the dark. A person who was sometimes mamish in the light was literally in the dark. Chaf beis shana shenistalke ruach hakodesh mi David Melech Yisrael. For 22 years, David HaMelech lost his ruach hakodesh. And b'chol yom v'yom, he used to sit crying over his fate. B'chol yom v'yom, hayamorid kos shel demos. He would cry a cup full of tears, and he would dip his bread into the salt water, namely his tears, and he would eat his bread with ashes. He was going through a very, very dark time. And yet for those 22 years he cried out to Hashem, Hashem, please, I want to be close to you. Was he crying? Just stop crying and give up on God. What are you crying about? After 5 years, it's time to move on. God's not coming back to you. David says, no, I'm never going to give up. He's crying, he's hoping, he's longing. 22 years, he remained hopeful. Hashem, please. How many people have the strength after a week of feeling that Hashem has been, tough with you? You're already thinking about giving up everything. You had one difficulty in your life, and all of a sudden you're ready to give up. Right? A person goes through a difficult year of their life. And they feel that their emuna has been shaken. 22 years, David's crying, Hashem, I just want to be close to you, please. So many people probably said, David, move on. You'll never have that closeness again. So just be like a very passive Jew. If you don't want to go off the derech completely. And David said, no, I'm crying, come on, Hashem. Any day now. He believed. Look at this next Gemara Chazal. It's even stronger. V'chein motziyim es mesiras nafsho shel David lamor al amdo. Gam kishara shakalu kolakitzim. Look how David clung to Hashem when all, kalu means what? When all of the kitzim, the kates. Kitzim means what? Kates, kitzim. Kates is singular, kitzim is plural. Kitzim means the ends. All of the ends, meaning he's exhausted all of the ends. When there's no escape. When there's no other opportunities, no other possibilities, no other resolutions. When you ran out of options, David never ran out of options. David always came up with a way to literally with death hanging in front of his face. Head on the chopping block. David HaMelech didn't give up. Hayezeh kishalachu plishtim al David v'Yisrael. When the plishtim were fighting against David and Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David, I want you to do the impossible. Vayishal David ba'Hashem. David inquires of Hashem through the Urim V'tumim. Vayomer lo sa'aleh. No, don't fight the plishtim head on. Why? You've got a good army, Hashem. Nope. I want you to retreat. Retreat? That's going to look like we're weak. Haseva acharehem. I want you to circle back around from behind. Uvasalehem mimul becham. And I want you to camp out by those trees. Becham is the name of those trees, Ilanus. And I want you to wait by those trees with your swords by your side, and don't lift a sword until what? Until you hear the sound of an army amongst the trees. Not the Plishti army, but another army. Obviously, it was a spiritual army that Hashem was going to send from the heavens. When you hear noises coming from the treetops, an unusual spiritual noise coming from the treetops, Oz Techaratz. What does it mean, Oz Techaratz? Rashi says, then you should raise up your voice and scream out a cry of warfare and fight the enemies. But don't move an inch until you hear that sound, until I give the signal. Says the Yalkut Shimoni on those Psukim and Shmuel base. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shem says to David, Al ta'ala ela me'achareyem, don't ascend head on, but circle back. Ve'ein l'cha rishus lifshot yad v'hem afilu kroivim l'cha. And I don't want you to raise your sword. I don't want you to fire one shot. No matter how close the plishtim get. That's nuts. What if they're like right in front of my face with a sword about to chop my head off? I shouldn't fight back. No, don't move. Do not make a move until you get the signal. Achetira es roshe ilanos misnanim, until you hear the rustling in the treetops. Kevan shiyatza, hayu plishtim, krav muvam v'yisrael ro'am osam. The Jews are standing there, like complete fools, standing there, just waiting, and the plishtim are getting closer, and closer, and closer, and it's like, it's weird. The plishtim are probably like confused. They're not raising their swords. They don't look like they want to fight. Are they just going to surrender? Are they like sheep to the slaughter? What are these Jews doing? Shalai rechokim hem ela arba amos. The plishtim are standing a couple of feet away, ready to strike down the entire Jewish army. Amru lo Yisrael, Klai shall turn to David. What are we doing here? This is nuts. Manu omdim, we're just standing here. Who fights like this? Amar lahem, no. David says, don't move. Don't move. Slow down your heart rate. You have nothing to be nervous about. Mitzuva ani min alokim shalo lifshot yad behem. I was commanded by Hashem that we're not fighting this battle. We just have to stand here, wait for the signal, and then give out a battle cry. Amar lahem David. David explained to them, Mutav v'namus zakayim v'tzadikim v'lo namus rishayim. I'd rather die as a person who listened to Hashem than to try to fight like a person who rebelled against Hashem as a Rasha, who went against the Dvar Hashem. El anivatem nitla einenu el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Plishtim are standing four amos away. That's 6 feet away. And the Plishtim are ready to rip the Jews to shreds. And they're standing there totally like deer in the headlight. And David says, just look up, just look up, just look up, just wait for the signal. There's not much more waiting we can do, David HaMelech. Just wait. Kevin Shetalu Einayim. They lifted their eyes. They believed in Hashem. And it was scary of moments. Nenu Ha'ilanos. And they heard the rustling in the trees. Umiyad Pashtu Yad. And then they gave out the battle cry and extended their hands. Kamo Shekosov. Vayaz David Kain. Kasher Tziva Hashem. And they struck down the Plishtim throughout that entire region. Rashi explains, Rashi Mefari Shamatam, why did Hashem do this to them? What was this signal? What was, you have to wait for the rustling of the wind? What is that? They're called Sada Shalayim, that they should hear footsteps on top of them, on top of the trees? What? Yes. Because these were angels who had been sent, an angelic army, who had come to help David fight. And if they would have waged battle a second earlier, they would have been slaughtered by the Plishtim. Says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter, two lines from the bottom. V'hainu shegam kishara David v'anashav es hamavis l'neged einav. There was mamish, no hope. This was it. There was nowhere to go. V'ayu b'efsharuso lilcham imam la'akosam. And any normal human being, how could you not fight in that moment? Where does one get the gvura? What's today's svira? What are we up to? Gvura Shebet Teferis. Where does one find the beauty of such Gvura? Ozer Yisrael B'Gvura. We're going to see the Rav's famous essay, Catharsis, in 2 minutes. Where does one get such a Gvura? Such restraint. That's what Gvura means, restraint. The Mid of Yitzhak Avinu, tied down at the Akedah. How do I not panic in such a moment? How does a person have such strength? How could I possibly make the right decision in such a situation? And David Mel taught us it's possible. Lo zaz mi makom amdo, he didn't flinch. At sheigia haremez, turn the page, the final page, tzadi gimel. Shekibo min ha'anue ha'itzim, until he heard the rustling, the sounds in the leaves. Avalu lezos. But if that sound would not have come, David would have stood there with his eyes raised heavenward, being chopped down by his enemies. Lulei zos, if not for the signal, hayamuchan hu v'chol ha'am lamus, leman shemo yisbach. They were prepared to die al kiddush Hashem. Mibli lahashim l'chamasa. Better than to get involved even 1 inch in the battle. Unbelievable. That's clinging to Hashem. That's trusting in Hashem when things look really, really, really bleak. The final paragraph, let's finish up the piece, and then we'll see Rabbi Nachman and the Rav. Ul'idach gisa, and it's very important to remind ourselves that again, what we're talking about here, ratz of a shov, as we'll explain, forward motion and backwards motion at the same time, to be able to move forward and to retreat at the same time, means that David HaMelech was just as with Hashem when things were good. David HaMelech was with Hashem in the really good times. He didn't become proud. He didn't become haughty. And he never lost hope in the bad times. He just clung to Hashem like a baby in his mother's arms who just is totally absorbed within its mother's embrace. Doesn't know anything else. Doesn't have the rational thought to be afraid. The mother is the one who's nervous or in control. The baby doesn't know when it's a good situation or bad. The baby just sits there and nurses from the mother. And makabel the shefa from its mother. Says the Zohar and the Yerushalmi, take a look. Ule'idach yisa. Kishaya David b'matzav sha'aliyah v'gadla samochim. 22 years of darkness. 22 years of lacking Ruach HaKodesh. And in the good times when David HaMelech had elevated moments, when he had expansive consciousness, hayapacher alokim leneged eina v'lo gava libo. He never became haughty. V'zeh kol inyan baki b'ratza u'baki b'shov. This is the Indian again. We haven't learned it inside yet, but the Rabbi Nachman is going to explain to us in Likutei Moharan and Torah Vav the Indian of being an expert in forward motion and an expert in backwards motion. To know how to move forward and backwards. To know how to advance and to know how to retreat. Be'es aliyah uve'es yirida. To be with Hashem when things are going well. Not to, God forbid, say, kochi va'otzem yadi, my efforts, my success, my investments, my hard work. No. It was Hashem when it's good, and it's Hashem when it's bad. It's always Hashem. K'moshe kasa b'Yerushalmi, as the Yerushalmi says, Shir ha'malas l'David. Shir ha'malas l'David. Hashem lo gaval libi. David HaMelech says, a song of ascent, a song of praise. Shir ha'malas. This is Tehillim Kuf Lamed Aleph, the 15 Shir ha'malas. In Kuf Lamed Aleph, David says, lo gaval libi. I never became haughty. B'sha shemashchani Shmuel. When I became the Melech, it didn't go to my head when I was anointed by Shmuel. V'lo ramu einai, I didn't raise up my eyes, again, in the way of a haughty person. B'shosh sharagti as galyas, I didn't take the credit when I killed the greatest oppressor of Klal Yisrael in that time, who everyone was afraid of. V'lo hilachti b'gedolos, and I didn't walk like a big shot. B'shosh sha'alisi as ha'aron, when I brought up the aron, when I was moving us towards the construction of the first temple, at the hands of my son Shlomo Melech, uven eflaos, when I experience wonders, b'shah shechzi runi b'malchusi, when I establish my kingdom, at no point in my reign, in my dominant reign, and he had many dominant years, at no point did it go to my head. Not my spiritual success, my physical success. David HaMelech says, I just clung to Hashem. As the Zohar explains these psukim in Shemos Kofal from the base, the Zohar says, Hashem lo gava libi v'lo ramu einai. David Malka Amar Da, when did David HaMelech say this parak of Tehillim? Begin to have a Malki Ilah v'shlita. At the time that he was what? At the time he was a king of tremendous dominance, in brackets, the translation of the Zohar. David HaMelech Amar Zos, Ekev Hayosu Melech Elyon v'shalit. Al Kol Malkin Ilah v'shalit in the Ismi Mizrach Var Mariv, who's the greatest king from east to west, the greatest king in the world. Lo Solik Alibe Lasta Me'urcha. And he did not enter his mind, la'asta, to stray, me'urcha, from the derech hayasha, from the proper path. V'tadir shafil libe k'mei mare. And he acted constantly with humility before his maker, before his creator. V'tamir ha'yalibo mushbol lefnei Hashem yisprach. He always acted with humility before Hashem. V'chad ha've lo'ibo raisa, when he would study Torah on such a lofty level, ha've misgaber ka'ari, he girded himself, he had gevurah, he had the strength of a lion. And his eyes were always pressed downwards from fear of his what? Of his master. When David HaMelech went amongst the people, He went so also, these ones don't have staples. He went, we'll do one at a time. He went amongst the people, again, two pages per person, with tremendous humility. When he was amongst the people, he was totally humble. Even though I'm the greatest king of the entire world, of the physical world, when I study Torah, I do it with humility. Many four lines from the bottom, and I never become haughty. Not from, again, my spiritual greatness, not from my dominance and the power of my reign as king. And the Zohar concludes, V'idavid malka amar hachi. And if King David said such a thing, Shar b'nei alma al achas kam v'kam. How much more so should it be true for every one of us? Who are we to be haughty? We're not nearly as dominant in the world, we're not nearly as dominant in the spiritual world. So if David can maintain, again, this phrase in Shir HaShirim, as achas tiv alo arpenu, to cling to Hashem, with simplicity and humility in all situations, so every one of us, Allah has come v'kam. Okay? Ad kan lekerma. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Related, but maybe different in it. So let's leave it for now. Okay? All right, let's learn Likutei Moran, Torah Vav, in the fourth section, Os Dalet. We'll understand a little bit more this inyan of, because everything we've been learning the last, you know, 2.5 hours of Shir, last week and this week, was all really just this page that you have in front of you, half of the page that you have in front of you. So let's try to understand it. Okay, top of the page is where it starts, Os Dalet. Are there more?
Yeah.
Okay, pass them around, make sure there's enough. 2 pages per person. 1 page of Likutei Moran and 2 pages from the Rav. Ukisharotza Adam Leilech Bidarche Hatshuva. However, the tachlis of the whole Bria, the purpose of everything is tshuva. Tshuva means, the mashal that we sometimes use, taking your drop of the ocean, taking your drop of water, which is extracted from the ocean, and has all the properties of the ocean, and throwing it back into the big ocean. Taking your drop of water from the ocean and throwing it back into the ocean. Tshuva. Returning your individual self to the bigger version of yourself called Hashem. To take the lowercase I and attach yourself back to the big I, the Anochi of Hashem. When a person wants to throw himself back into the ocean, to become connected to Hashem. Tshuva. To not stray one iota, like David HaMelech. No matter how powerful he became in the language of the Zohar, like we just saw, he did not stray from the Derech HaYashar. He clung to Hashem. Achaz tiv v'lar penu. In order to be with Hashem, to truly do tshuva, again, to return wholly to Hashem, completely to Hashem, tzarech lios baki behalacha. You need to be an expert in halacha. Rabbi Nachman says, not a day should go by without a person opening up a Shulchan Aruch. Tzchatayini maskir ayom. We don't do that together as a shir every day. Maybe we should. Definitely need to start doing more halacha. It's something that I definitely recognize from when we were learning Hilchos Pesach together. Right? But you need to be a baki in halacha. It doesn't only mean opening up a Shulchan Aruch every day. It means knowing how to navigate the world. The Gemara says, halichos olam lo, al tikri halichos ala halachos. Halacha means halicha. Knowing how to navigate. Knowing how to get around. The part that I mentioned to some of you at the Yesh Olam event a couple weeks ago. The part from the Sefer Or LaShamayim. Rav Meir of Apt. He says that when Rabbi Akiva was darshaning the crowns on top of the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu was adding these crowns to the Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, what's with these crowns? What's going to be with you? Why do you have all these little aesthetic designs, these little lines on top of the letters of the Torah? What's that for? So Hashem says there's going to be a Yid in the future, his name is Akiva ben Yosef. He's going to darshan mountains, mounds and mounds, piles and piles of halachos from these crowns. From these coats and from these points on top of the Torah. The Or LaShamayim, Rav Meir of Apt explained, the crowns are called crowns, also called kotzim. Kotz means a point, or maybe a thorn. And Rabbi Akiva is going to darshan piles and piles of halachos. Halachos means halichos. Rabbi Akiva is going to look at all of the kotzim, all of the sharp moments of his life, all the things that stuck him, all of the moments where he got poked by a thorn, and Rabbi Akiva is going to find meaning in it. Rabbi Akiva is going to make halachos, halichos, pathways out of all of life's struggles. So says Rabbi Nachman, if you want to be a real Baal Tshuva who clings to Hashem, a true Baal Tshuva, like the Beis Yisrael, like the Ger Rebbe, once was walking in the streets of Yerushalayim and met a Yid, and he asked him, "Nu, young man, where are you learning?" So he said, "I'm learning in such and such a yeshiva, but I'm not a Baal Tshuva." It was known that a lot of Baal Tshuva went to that yeshiva. So the Ger Yisrael smiled at the Beis Yisrael smiled at him, the Ger Rebbe, the fourth Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael. So he smiled at him and he said, "You're not a Baal Tshuva? Why not? Embarrassed? You're not Baal Tshuva? Every Jew is a Baal Tshuva. Who doesn't want to be a Baal Tshuva? Inside the Kvarat Shriyasa Tova Lo Yachta, we all have a Veros. And in Pnimiyas HaTorah, Tshuva is the Tachos of everything. Dveikus and Tshuva, it's all synonymous. Clinging to Hashem. Putting your drop back into the ocean. So if you want to be about Tshuva, says Rabbeinu, Tzarech Lios Baki Bahalacha. You need to be an expert in navigating the world. Vitzarech Lios Shnei Bekios. And there's two types of expertise you need to have. Hainu Baki Biratso, Baki Bishov. Ratzo Bishov. Ratzav Eshov. It's a pasuk in the first parak of Yecheskel. Ratzav Eshov, very Kabbalistic images. The Merkava scene that Yecheskel sees, that we read Shavuos this morning when everyone's fast asleep, because stayed up all night and then you fall asleep during laning. So most people are passed out for that, which is probably the best way to understand it, because you're not actually going to understand what's going on there. It's the deepest secrets of Kabbalah. It's described in the Mishnayos in the second parak of Maseches Chagiga. Right? But you need to be an expert in Ratzav Eshov. The Navi describes how the angels in Shemayim are ruts of a shov, literally running this way and that way, going forward and then taking a step back. Kamosha Kosov, Zaka man the ayil v'nofek. Says Rabbeinu, as the Zohar tells us in Vayakalin and Hazinu, praiseworthy is one who's ayil v'nofek. What does ayil v'nofek mean? It's so unbelievable. When we get to the piece from Rav Soloveitchik, it's so unbelievable how beautiful the Rav's commentary on Likutei Maharan. It's a funny way to describe it, but you'll see, it's mamish to any. And maybe the most real example that any man of flesh and blood could know. Zaka man, praiseworthy is one who enters and exits, who knows when to be close and when to be far, but knows how to always be on the path of the Yashar, to always be in a state of tshuva, to always be with Hashem. When he feels that he's got the inside track, he's ayel v'nafik, and when he's outside. V'zeh b'chinas, and this is what David Melech describes in Tehillim Kuf Lamed Tes, im esak shamayim shom ata, if I ascend to the heavens, guess what I find there? Hashem, you're there. B'chinas ayel. When I'm in the heavens, when I'm in the Masifta Derakia, when I'm close to Hashem, when I'm feeling connected, when Shemona Esrei is clicking, when my midos are clicking, when my Yitzhar is taking a beating, and my learning is strong. In Esek Shemayim, when I'm having a heavenly experience, I find that you're there, Hashem. Bechinas Ayel, when I enter. Bechinas Baki Beratzo, to know how to move forward. Va'atziya Sha'ol Hineka, but when I descend to the pits of hell, Hineka, you're also there. I find you there as well. Bechinas V'nafik, when I exit, you're there. When I enter, you're there. Bechinas Baki Beshov, when I'm forced to retreat. When I'm about to fight the plishim and it makes so much sense to me, and you tell me, go retreat and stand by those trees and just wait it out. That's nuts. I'm going to get killed, Hashem. And David HaMelech had the emunah. He knew when to go ahead. He knew when to retreat. Says Rabbeinu, this is the secret of ani ledodi v'dodi li. Sometimes I'm moving towards Hashem. Sometimes Hashem is moving towards me. Again, the give and take of any relationship. Ani ledodi zebachinas ayil, vidodi li zebachinas nafik. It's the shuckling that Rav Schwab explained when we daven. We draw close and we pull back. We draw close and we pull back. It's the intimacy of a husband and wife, drawing close and pulling back when they're in bed together having a child. There's a constant give and take. There's a ratz of a shov. That's all of life. And that's the secret, he says, of Elul. That's the secret of ani ledodi vidodi li. Rashi Tevo's Elul. It's drawing close to Hashem and knowing how to retreat, how to deal with mitzvos and averos, and to put it all together in some beautiful, harmonious way. V'zeh ikar kvodo, and that's the biggest kvod shemayim. Zako man da'ayel v'nafik. Praiseworthy is one who understands this give and take. Who understands the give and take. This is what the Navi Yeshaya says when he says, honor him through derachecha. Derachecha is plural. Derachecha lashon rabim. You need to have both drachim. You need to know the derach of forward motion, and you need to know the derach of retreat. Hainu ayel v'nafik. U'kishayeshlo eilu shnei b'kios hanizkir la'el. And when you know how to do this, azayu holich b'derach yetshuva v'zoche l'chvod Hashem, then you're a true emesdik of Baal Tshuva. And the place that the Baal Tshuva stands, the tzaddik can't even reach. You're an emesdik Baal Tshuva, you're close to Hashem, and the fact that you understand the ups and downs. You understand the Elios and the Eridos. You understand the hot times and the cold times. You understand Godless Samochen and Katnus Samochen. You understand Kayetz and Choref. And you understand Bikos and Gvos. You understand all of the different things. If you understand all of that, Hashem says, you get it. You give honor to me if you know the pathways, plural. Rabbi Akiva knew all of the different drachim. He knew the crowns on top of the Torah. Piles and piles of halachos. Rabbi Akiva, like David HaMelech, found a way to believe and to navigate any situation with Hashem. Hainu shezocha lekeser. And if you have kavod, you have keser. It's part of the beginning of this longer Torah. Ki leis kavod below kaf. There's no kavod without the letter chaf. And the letter chaf is the letter of keser. Keser is the highest point of the spheros. Okay, we're not going to go fully into that right now. V'oz yamin Hashem pshuto lekabel tshuvaso. And then the mashal I gave you before of the baby and its mother's embrace, a Jew finds himself in the hands of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. He's mamish in the arms of a Kaddish Baruch Hu, which is again is the ultimate tachlis. So Maskanim once came to Rav Matzio Salman from Lakewood, Mashkiach in Lakewood. He's like gesund and stark. He should be healthy. And they asked Rav Matzio, there was a young child who had passed away. So they asked, how do you explain to other children the concept of death? What'd you say? How do you explain to kids death? Very hard thing. Especially a tragic death of a young person. How do you explain death? Shri Matisyahu said such a gorgeous thing. God forbid you should ever need to share this with someone, but file it away because it's a really important Torah. Shri Matisyahu said, they offered these Rabbanim, these Askanim, they said to Shri Matisyahu, maybe you can say it like this, maybe you can say it like that. He said, I'll tell you Pasha. A kid has a nightmare, wakes up in the middle of the night. What happens? Right? As a parent, I can tell you this has happened for sure many times in our home. All of a sudden, right, you feel someone climbing into your bed. My daughter Meir has been in her bed a couple times the last couple of weeks. Yeah? Middle of the night, all of a sudden, Meir is climbing into my bed. Meir, what's wrong? You okay? Daddy and I had a scary dream. Okay. Right, so she lies in bed with me, she falls back asleep, and then I pick her up and I carry her back to her bed, cover with her blanket, and hope that we don't meet up too many more times until the morning. Right? For Matisyahu said, death is the opposite. Death is the opposite. Death is the opposite. A person goes to their bed, which is this world, right? And they're there for a period of time. Death is not the parent taking the child back to the child's bed. Not that I don't love you, but you need to be in your own bed. Death is when the child comes back to the parent's bed, snuggles up with the parent, and stays there forever. That was Rav Matisyahu's image of death. When a child comes to the parent's bed, that feeling, that good feeling, when things are scary, this world's a scary place, when I'm able to come back to my parent's embrace, and to feel so much more at ease, and to stay there for eternity, Rav Matisyahu said that's what death is. Coming back to mommy and daddy's embrace and just remaining there, feeling entirely comfortable forever. So while we're sad when someone passes away, you should just know that neshama is in the most comfortable place in the world. Such a beautiful, beautiful way to describe something so painful and seemingly so tragic. So that's tshuva. That's what he's writing. Yamin Hashem pshuta l'kabel shavim. To come back to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to sit in Hashem's arms. That's the tachlis of life. What we're learning here is this is what maybe the most important shiur we've ever had together. Okay, let's now see it in the words of Rav Soloveitchik. The Rav, in a remarkably beautiful and deep essay, we don't have time to go through the whole thing, but you know what the essay is about? What was Rabbi Nachman just talking about? Being a bucky and what? Halacha. What is halacha? Why do I need halacha? Rabbi Nachman says, you need halacha, you need Shulchan Aruch. You need to know every sif katan of Magen Avraham and Taz and Shach and everyone else, Mr. Brura. But But you also need to know that halacha means navigating life. Says Rav Soloveitchik, take a look on page 48. This is Catharsis, is an essay that was printed in many different forms. Okay, this is the Magid Modern Classics, Confrontation, Other Essays, 5 or 6 essays from the Rav. And he writes here on page 48, section 6 of the essay Catharsis. Catharsis is a Greek word which means purification. And purification comes about, the cleansing of a person that comes about by going through extreme things. Being able to handle an extreme experience and get through it is a very cleansing process. It purges a person. The Rav is explaining how halacha forces us to cleanse ourselves in a very, very deep way. Because halacha makes us feel very uncomfortable sometimes, as we're about to see. The Rav talks about, in the first part of the piece, he talks about the difference between Ozer Yisrael Begvura versus Hanosein Layayif Koach. Koach is physical strength. Gvura is not about having big muscles. Gvura is a very, very deep and delicate inner strength. Gvura, the Gibur, is sometimes the one who loses the battle. And you'll see why in a second. Let's read inside. What is the heroism in the halacha? A Gibur. A Gibur means a hero. The Rav says, what's heroic about halacha? Rabbi Nachman says, you got to be a bucky in halacha. What's heroic about halacha? What does the halacha recommend to us that we may attain heroic stature? What is it about halacha that turns us into heroes? The answer is, one must perform the dialectical movement. Ratza b'shov. Person has to be a bucky in halacha. Means a bucky b'ratza b'shov. The halachic catharsis expresses itself in paradoxical movement in two opposite directions. In surging forward boldly and in retreating humbly. No? Is this not a parish on Lakhita Maran? It's a fancy philosophical way of saying what Rabbeinu just said. Man's heroic experience is a polar antithetic one. Man drives forward only to retreat and to reverse, subsequently the direction of his movement. David HaMelech, you're about to fight the Plishtim. No, turn around, go back, stand in a corner, and wait it out. That's the halacha. That's the Ratzon Hashem. That's what God demanded in that moment. The Torah wants man who is bold and adventurous in his quest for opportunities to act heroically. Not to be a conqueror who always moves forward. Maybe that's koach, that's not gevura. And at the final moment, at the moment where you're about to feel, kochi v'otzim yadi. Listen to the words of the Torah. Koach, kochi v'otzim yadi. That's the person who thinks he's in charge. Koach. Koach is not gevura. It's two different things. Two different brachos in the morning. Hanosin le'ayif, koach. I need koach for sure. But more importantly, ozer yisoh, gird me Hashem with gevura. What is gevura? Man is bold and adventurous in his quest for opportunities. He wants to act heroically. And at the final moment, when it appears to him that victory is within reach, to stop short, turn around, and retreat. At the most exalted moment of triumph and fulfillment, man must forgo the ecstasy of victory and take defeat at his own hands. Why would you ask me to stop now, Hashem? I've been waiting for this moment for so long. How could halacha take it away from me? How could halacha take it away from me? Jacob acted in this manner. He engaged in dialectical performance. Yaakov Avinu is Tiferes. The mid of Tiferes is a blend of Chesed and Gvura. Chesed is forward motion. Gvura is complete retreat. Yaakov is simultaneously both those things. He did not consummate his victory. Yaakov has the upper hand over that Malach. And the Malach says, I got to go. And Yaakov says, okay, I'll let you go. Saros al Esav. He could have fought him off. He could have finished him off. Instead, he freed the antagonist whom he had defeated and whom he could have destroyed. By freeing the defeated enemy, Jacob defeated himself. Such a painful surrender. He withdrew from a position he had won through courage and fortitude. He engaged in the movement of recoil. And that's what halacha is asking of us. Let's keep reading. I'm sorry, I can't take questions right now. Halacha teaches that at every level of our total existential experience, at every level of being a human being, the aesthetic, hedonic, the emotional, the intellectual, the moral, religious, one must engage in the dialectical movement. Dialectic means reconciling opposing things. By alternately advancing and retreating. Alternately advancing and retreating. Again, that sway, that shuckle that makes up so much of our religious experience. When we learn, we shuckle. When we daven, we shuckle. Ratzav v'shov, ratzav v'shov. You may never have thought about it like that, but that's exactly what we're doing. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking us to do. Take a look at the bottom paragraph on page 49. The idea of catharsis through the dialectical movement manifests itself in all halachic norms regulating human life. Nowhere, however, does this doctrine of dialectic catharsis assert itself more frequently than it does in the aesthetic hedonic realm. What does that mean? Turn the page, we'll find out very quickly. How does man purge himself in this realm? Habakkuk, the Gemara says, in Maseches Makos, at the very end, the Navi Habakkuk summed up everything in one word, in one sentence, in one phrase. Bach Habakkuk v'amidon al achas, if I had to put everything together in one magnificent phrase, v'tzadik v'amunaso yichya. A tzadik lives by his faith. What does it mean? He has amunah in Hashem at the moment that he's being asked to be a tzadik. What is a tzadik? Tzadik is Yosef a tzadik. One of the hardest areas for a person to retreat when he wants to move forward. One of the hardest areas for a person to hold back when he wants to move forward is when it comes to sexual activity. When it comes to man's sexual drive, as it's referred to. To be able to withdraw, to be able to restrain, to be able, what he's describing the Rav here, right? When that feeling of pleasure, hedonism, takes hold of him and he wants to move forward, and halacha tells him he can't touch his girlfriend because they're not married and she's not tahor, or he can't touch his wife because she just became a nida, even though he's been longing to be with her and she's been longing to be with him. That is one of the strongest, most intense moments of retreat that halacha asks of us. He quotes the Medrash in Shir HaShirim, read the bottom of page 50. The belly is like a heap of wheat set about with lilies. It often happens that a man takes a wife when he's 30 or 40 years of age. He's an older person. He didn't get married in his younger years. 40 years, he's never been with a woman. He's maintained his kedusha. He's a 40-year-old man. And he's a virgin. And he's looking forward to being with his wife. And he's tried to maintain kedusha his whole life. When after going to great expense, he wishes to associate with her, and she says to him, "I have seen a rose-red speck. I saw a drop of blood. A tiny drop. I could have looked the other way, but I saw it." He immediately recoils. Then we're not going to be together. Because I don't want karis. I want to give the ultimate kavod to Hashem and wear the keser. Karis and keser, the same letters. This moment could be karis, if I sleep with a woman who's a nida, or I could give a crown to Hashem and to myself. He immediately recoils. What made him retreat? This is based on a medrash in Shir HaShirim. What made him retreat and keep away from her? Was there an iron fence? Did a serpent bite him? Did a scorpion sting him? A dish of meat is placed before man and he is told some forbidden fat has fallen into it. He withdraws his hand from the food. What stopped him from tasting it? Did a serpent bite him? Did a scorpion sting him? What stopped him? You know what stopped him? A gentle thing called Torah. Derecha Darchei Noam. He could have plowed right through that Torah. He could have ignored it. Only the words of Torah which are soft as a bed of lilies. Ad Khan, the words of the Medrash. Now let's make it real. Imagine the scene. And it happens to people. It happens to people even on their wedding night. And it happens in all sorts of situations in life. But again, the Rav chose this example because it's one which is extraordinarily difficult. And yet people make the right choice. Because I don't want karis. I'm not going to sleep with my wife when she's in need. No matter how painful that experience is. To think that everything I was hoping for in this moment, this romantic moment of closeness, rotzav v'shov, and I'm being forced back. Bride and bridegroom, we end with this page. Bride and bridegroom are young, physically strong, and passionately in love with each other. Both have patiently waited for this rendezvous to take place. Just one more step and their love would have been fulfilled, a vision realized. Suddenly the bride and groom make a movement of recoil. By the way, you should know, the example is not only in the tragic case that the woman became anida and they weren't able to be together. When a husband and wife are together for the first time, if you don't know this halacha, it's time to learn it. When a husband and wife are together for the first time, right, assuming that she's a virgin, and there's bleeding from being intimate with her for the first time, the halacha states that after they complete the act of being together one time, they have to separate. On their wedding night, they have to separate. They're not allowed to touch each other for the next 2 weeks. Catharsis. That's the halachic catharsis. It's a purging of self-control. God says, your marriage is not going to be built on sex. If you think that's what it is, you're way off. Hashem says, I know you want to be together, and you should be together. It's a mitzvah to be together. Be a Rishon, it's a mitzvah to be together. But you also have to know how to rutz of a shof. A marriage is a lot of give and take. Every relationship is a lot. This is a microcosm of kutchabrichu shchinte. L'shem yichud kutchabrichu shchinte. Rutz of a shof. I draw close, and then I draw back. Suddenly the bride and groom make a movement of recoil. He gallantly, like a chivalrous knight, exhibits paradoxical heroism. What strength? He takes his own defeat. There's no glamour attached to his withdrawal. All the more so in what? When they weren't able to be together. They didn't even have that first moment together. The latter is not a spectacular gesture, since there are no witnesses to admire and to laud him. It's just the two of them. I know. The heroic act did not take place in the presence... The Rav's teaching us. I'm not stopping. The heroic act did not take place in the presence of jubilating crowd. No one's cheering him on. It's embarrassing. It's painful. No bards will sing of these two modest, humble young people. It happened in the sheltered privacy of their home, in the stillness of the night. The young man, like Jacob of old, makes an about face. He retreats at the moment when fulfillment seems assured. This kind of divine dialectical discipline is not limited to man's sexual life, but extends to all areas of natural drive and temptation. The hungry person must forego the pleasure of taking food, no matter how strong the temptation. It's not kosher. Men of property must forego the pleasure of acquisition if the latter is halachically and morally wrong. In a word, being a bucky in halacha, to use Rabbi Nachman's words, requires a man that he possess the capability of withdrawal. Of course, as we have made evident above, man is called, following the movement of withdrawal, to advance once again towards full victory. Being a bucky in halacha, ratzon Hashem. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We're going to go next door to hear of Shechter.